The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Connolly, Chief Judge Siegel, Judge Smith, the Honorable Francis J. Connolly presiding.
Thank you. Our last oral argument this afternoon is the State of Minnesota versus DEL. Our respondent has not filed a brief, so we will just have one 15-minute presentation by counsel for the appellant without rebuttal. I just caution all parties and participants and any observers, this matter is being recorded in an audio manner, but any private recordings, video or audio, are strictly prohibited. So, counsel for the appellant, whenever you're ready, you may begin and just start by telling us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Jessica Mickelson. I'm an attorney with Central Minnesota Legal Services, and I'm appearing on behalf of DEL. I'm coming to this court today after DEL sought an expungement of her theft record for a felony theft of a motor vehicle valued under $500. The expungement was denied, and I'm requesting a reversal of that order on two grounds. First, because it is an eligible offense under the statutory scheme laid out by the legislature in the expungement statute. And second, because the district court errs when it does not independently consider and articulate its either a denial or approval of an inherent authority expungement. Your Honors, I believe that there were facts submitted in terms of the record in the addendum. If the court needs, I can do a brief recitation of the facts. Otherwise, I can move into the argument.
I think we're all familiar with the facts.
Okay. For purposes of clarification, there are three primary statutory provisions that are at issue here. First is the theft statute located in Minnesota Statute 609.52. This generally lays out both the terms and definitions of the theft, and it lays out the sentencing. I would like to
Ms. Mickelson, if I could just interrupt you, and I apologize for doing that so early in your argument, but let's assume you're right about interpreting the expungement statute. But this was too early, wasn't it?
Yes, Your Honor, there was.
So why shouldn't we just say, sorry, we don't have to decide anything else? Her discharge date from probation's not till 2017, and 5 years after that is, you know, a year and a half from now.
Yes, Your Honor. And you are correct. There was an error when we initially filed. We believe that she had a stay of adjudication instead of a stay of imposition. However, if we don't come and address this issue today, then this will remain the law for the case and she won't be able to appeal it because it was determined by the Norson County District Court that this was ineligible under the statutory.
Wait, okay, can you, you've lost me now. So why don't you explain, because I saw the sentencing document, and the sentencing document that's in your addendum says she's not discharged from probation until 2017.
Yes, Your Honor. And again, the problem is that the Morrison County District Court didn't address the timing. They addressed the category of offense and said the offense itself was precluded. So if we don't determine in the Court of Appeals that this offense is eligible under the expungement statute, then even when the timing is right, she would not be able to come back and request the expungement because they found that the offense was not expungible.
Well, not.
So even when the time has passed,
yeah,
she's going to be held to
the record as it stands today.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. Yep. I understand.
So let's look at the 609A.02, the grounds for the order, right? And subdivision 3B says, okay, paragraph A, the expungement part, applies to the following offenses, right? Applies to the following offenses. Then we tick all the way down to 20, right? And 20 says, cites the sentencing statute, says 609.52 subdivision 3, clause 3A, theft of 5,000 or less, or other theft offense that is sentenced under this provision. And then also then goes to the next provision, which is an enhancement provision. So I think, is it fair to say that your argument comes down to what does provision mean in that sentence, right? Does provision apply only to 3A, clause 3A, theft of $5,000 or less, or does it also apply to B, C, and D, E, et cetera, right? That's what your argument is. Correct. So why should we read provision? I think your argument, I'm just going to say what it is, I think is like, well, it must mean something other than 3A, or why would you include it? Because you just said 3A, the legislature just said 3A. So why does it go ahead and say any other theft offense sentence under this provision? So, but explain to us why we would then say, oh yeah, for sure it applies to motor vehicle and robbing a grave and all of those other things that aren't actually mentioned.
Yes, Your Honor. So in looking at the what I refer to the general sentencing provision, which is at 609.52, subdivision 3, part 3, and we go to that, and that's where we find that subpart A. And subpart A says a theft of property or services valued of $1,000 to $5,000. And there's no other parts underneath that. It ends with a semicolon. And it has a disjunctive or, and then it creates that list of subparts, as you pointed out, A, B, C, and D. And appellant was, DEL was charged with a theft of a motor vehicle that was valued at less than $1,000, which was part of that subpart D that was included in that disjunctive list. And for purposes of sentencing, all of those sentences are treated the same. And so if we were going to give effect both to the general theft statute under the word any offense under this provision is going to be sentenced this way, then it would include that entire list. And so it, when we're looking at the
I'm sorry, so what exactly do you think provision means?
It means subparts A through D. So when we're looking at this, in the general theft statute, under that subdivision 3, paragraph 3, it goes through and it lists out, again, part A that we
right, I see the parts. I'm just wondering, so why does it necessarily have to include, like, B is controlled substances, C is something else, D is, then there's a bunch of Ds, right? Including yours here, the motor vehicle. But, you know, they're like, great, they're just different things. They're different types of crimes that, even though there may be 1,000 or less, maybe the legislature wanted to treat them differently for their.
Your Honor, they treat them differently in the sense of the amount stolen. So like for the theft of a motor vehicle, it's less than a property or service. But for purposes of sentencing, if you go back up to paragraph 3 and look at the whole paragraph, it treats it as the same as sentencing. So it says for a period of not more than 5 years of imprisonment or a fine of not more than $10,000. So if you meet any of these criteria in the list, then you are sentenced the same. And if you go back to the expungement statute, as you pointed out in 609A.02, and we go all the way down to that paragraph 20, is what I refer to in the expungement statute and what we sought relief under. It says, or other offense sentenced under this provision. And so she was actually sentenced under this provision as part of this list.
Why can't provision though, let me ask you this, can provision, one argument would be that provision applies only to subdivision 3 clause 3A, theft of 5,000 or less. Are there any other types of offenses that could be sentenced under that?
No, there are no subparts to A. I'm sorry, Your Honor, I did not mean to interrupt. There was a delay. No. But if you look at the paragraph A, as I think I understand your question, like when you see paragraph D, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And if we go up to A, it just says the value of property or service is stolen that's not that's $1,000, but not more than $5,000. There's no individual subparts. So if we were going to say sentenced under provision A, it wouldn't make sense for the legislature to then include in the expungement statute any other offense under this provision because there aren't any, unless you include the whole list.
But Ms. Mickelson, I mean, I can see a rational difference that the legislature made for even motor vehicles less than $1,000. You know, it's kind of like the old West, you know, if you stole someone's horse, that was a big deal, whether the horse was worth $5 or $1 million. You know, not everyone drives an Audi. A lot of people drive beaters, but they drive them. And if they lose them, they lose their job because they can't get to work. They can't pick up their kid at childcare. They can't pick up their kid at, they can't take, you know, their sick spouse to the hospital. So, you know, maybe the legislature was like, you know what, you steal a car, that's such an important part of someone's life, it's not eligible. Why is that rationale not valid?
Your Honor, in looking at the expungement statute, it talks about the items being sentenced under the provision, and the legislature did account for that by creating a lower dollar value for a car. I appreciate that not everybody drives an Audi. I certainly don't either. That said, I would truly—
Well, that's good because I don't either because the brake linings leak. So.
Exactly. But nonetheless, the legislature did provide a statutory scheme at a certain dollar amount that it felt should be sentenced the same way as somebody who, say, stole car parts for between $1,000 and $5,000. The sentence would end up being the same, and the result of stealing the car parts would be equally as detrimental, right? A person may not be able to fix their engine, and they might not be able to drive their kids around. They might not be able to get to work. But they created this category to be treated the same based on these certain conditions. And if you meet these criteria, then the legislature said that we're going to sentence you to no more than 5 years imprisonment and not more than a $10,000 fine. And so in looking at the expungement statute, it doesn't go by the category of what you took. It looks at the sentencing and says other offense sentenced under this provision. And so I'm looking at that expungement statute under clause 20, it looks like at property that's valued at 5,000 or less, and then it goes on to say other offense sentenced under this provision. So to give plain meaning to the statute and look at any offense, if these conditions exist, will be sentenced the same, then it would have to be interpreted that there would be more than one thing. Otherwise, in the expungement statute, the legislature would have said, if you are sentenced under 3 subpart A, then that's expungible. It created more of a list based upon the reading of the statute in the expungement.
Right. And it created a list, unfortunately, that's all packed into the word provision, right? I mean, B through D have to all, they mention A, and then B through D, your argument is, has to necessarily fall under the word provision because otherwise you're saying it doesn't make sense, right? That's your argument.
Right. Right, because otherwise you would be reading words out of the statute and treating certain parts of the expungement statute as superfluous or insignificant because there is no other categories or anything else to be sentenced under subpart A. It's just subpart A, semicolon, or, and then it continues. And so all of those things in that list, when you meet those conditions, are sentenced the same way for purposes of the criminal statute. In looking at, and clearly there is dispute and ambiguity within the statute, the court also looks to determine what kind of statute this is. This is a remedial statute, and it's designed to provide broad and expansive relief. So even if the court finds that there could be different meanings within sentenced under this provision and that definition, it would make sense that the court would look at the remedial statute and provide the most expansive reliefs as intended by the legislature and try to avoid absurd results. In looking at this, we know that the legislature did expand the list of in the expungement statute. They redid the expungement statute and they included a list of 50 things that you could get expunged when you were sentenced under a felony charge. We also know that they wanted more than just subpart A to be included because they said other offense sentenced under this provision. And so in giving broad interpretation and broad relief to people, we start looking at ways that what the legislature intended and avoiding this absurd result of, as I pointed out before, looking at what was stolen as versus the category of offense. So in my example, a DEL could have taken property, and it could have been car parts, valued between $1,000 and $5,000. And she could have been sentenced just the same as she was for the property she actually took. But yet the life outcomes would be harsher based on the category of property taken. Because had she taken the car parts, it clearly would have been expungible under that subpart A. But considering that the category was different, she received the same sort of sentence that she could have received had she been charged with taking the car parts, and yet she somehow wouldn't be eligible under this, the BCA and the court's interpretation that it's only subpart A, simply based on the category of the offense rather than the sentencing. And so in looking at this, whether it be based on the language of the statute and giving full effect to all the words, or it be because of the ambiguities and trying to avoid absurd results, it's appellant's position that it makes sense that this be read in as an other offense under this provision. And Your Honor, my clock is showing that I'm out of time. I did not get to the second part of my argument. So may I briefly just summarize that part?
Sure.
Thank you. Your Honors, additionally, in appellant's petition, she did ask for inherent authority expungement. And we were appreciative of the district court's informality and quick proceeding, but she did address the factors that were listed in State v. PLC. And the order that we received only was based on a denial citing the statutory expungement. So we're left to be able to, we're left unable to determine whether or not there was an abuse of discretion made, because we don't have any factors or independent findings as to why there's a denial. We requested reconsideration, and the district court reissued the same order with a slight modification to the caption. And so we are asking that this court reverse and remand with instruction back to the Morrison County District Court based on both the statutory expungement and the inherent authority.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mickelson. The matter is submitted. That being our last oral argument, we are adjourned, but the judges will stay online to continue.